at the line item in the budget. And so, you know.
Okay. This will give us a lot of. You can do the screen share. It says host disabled participant screen sharing. So I can't.
Okay. All right.
But you can always, you know, if we can't do a screen share.
Try it again.
It is on the website.
Try it again. I think I've empowered you.
Okay. Yep. That's weird. Okay. Share screen.
That's better.
Okay.
Thanks for taking them out.
Where's this all? There's like too much stuff open. Sorry.
I have the treasurer's report handy. I'd have to look for the budget.
Okay.
Do you have it?
I do.
Okay.
Let me actually.
Listen, if you can't share it, maybe you could just read it as an alternative.
Okay. I'm just wondering why I can't.
You can't what?
Like there's too much open on my computer. I think that's the problem.
Okay.
I think just read it.
Okay. Well, I think basically, you know, we're going to try and run at a deficit because right now we have, you know, actually, why don't I read the treasurer's report?
Okay. And that I can share.
Then go into stuff. Okay. So, but Nan, what about the minutes? Do we want to approve the minutes? Isn't that before reading the treasurer's report?
Sure. So, would anybody like to approve the minutes from May 8th? That were attached to the invitation before.
I move to approve the minutes.
Seconded.
Okay, I second.
Great, those are approved.
Okay. So basically you can read what I'm saying, so I don't really need to say it. The one thing that is changed, it's, the PTA actually wrote $10,725 worth of refund checks, not 9,000, but you know, only 3,200 of it has been cash so far. So, you know, there's a lot in that budget that is specific to the marine bio trip. And so that is why we have such a big fund, you know, balance, because a lot of it is the marine bio trip. And, you know, we did just get the refund from the plane tickets. So, you know, that added another $10,000 to the kitty. Let's see. Oyster Classic is, you know, postponed. And we do have that new date. before it got postponed, there was another just ad that went out, and so we did get more signups. So, we will be in good condition. And, you know, if anybody asks for a refund instead of, just going on the new date, we could possibly do that. But I think that most people, you know, even the runners who have nothing to do with the school, understand that it is a fundraiser for the school. And it's not a huge outlay of money that people are putting out, so.
Lisa?
Yes?
Is it possible for us to offer them a receipt for tax deduction instead of offer them that, you know, if they really want a refund, to offer them either the refund or a tax receipt for tax deduction receipt?
Yeah, I think that would be something that we could do. I don't think anybody is going to actually, you know, ask for it. It's, you know, the most somebody's, you know, paid, I think, is either $35 or $45. So it's not like a huge outlay. But, you know, if somebody does, then we can certainly handle that. Because of the COVID situation, the water bottle refilling stations have not happened yet. And also, you know, the vending machine that had been purchased and was supposedly going to be delivered did not get delivered, and so it went back, and we haven't paid for it. We're basically going to be putting most of the budget into school activities for next year, because we just, you know, we don't know. We were going to have the Spring Tide event. It was going to be more of a community building event than a fundraiser. But unfortunately, you know, pandemic happened, and so I would really love to see it continue in years to come. And, you know, I think that the people who have gone can speak to the fact that it was a lot of fun, and that, you know, it was good. The first year kids were able to go, but, you know, then we're not supposed to have the alcohol and kids there. Last year we just had it as adults. I think it was a lot of camaraderie and, you know, people getting to know each other better. And I think, you know, I would hope that it stays like an affordable event, like, you know, $25 kind of as a ticket price. I think that the fundraising that we did was more the online thing. I'm blanking on
ClickBid.
Thank you, ClickBid. I think that can happen again, and, you know, I think that can be really the fundraising part of it. Yeah, we're going to have the PTA scholarships again. That is one thing that we will be able to spend money on this year. And so, you know, that's going to be exciting. And we're going to give $250. You know, before we only gave to one student in each CTE, but we're going to give to one male and one female. Just so people know, the PTA does not choose, you know, the scholarship winners. That is done by the CTE heads. So, and last thing, I do know that we're supposed to be receiving a check for $1,040 from Network for Good from a Facebook birthday fundraiser. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, AHOD, I think, is going to be a lot harder in years to come. Well, at least in next year, because, you know, people are losing jobs and people won't be able to
Could you just remind us what AHOD stands for?
Sure. All Hands on Deck.
On Deck.
And so that is our capital campaign, just to raise the general funds for the PTA.
Lisa?
Yes.
Sorry. I thought it was originally 250 for one student. Mm-hmm. And because our budget was pretty good and we're not spending anything, we decided it would be 200 for two, one male and one female, 200 each. I thought that was what had been decided.
So,
Originally it was going to be one student per grade, per CTE, 250 per student, and then we decided this year that we could afford to have two students per CTE, at one boy, one girl, at $200 scholarship for each.
So I didn't remember that. I remembered that it was going to stay at 250. I would suggest that we stay at 250 because we can't spend money on anything else.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want, you know, this year to have kids get anything less than they got, you know, in previous years, especially because, you know, they're not gonna be able to do a lot of the things that, you know, seniors would be able to do, you know, in their second semester. So,
yeah. Okay.
You know, if anybody feels that it's too much, you know, please say so. But I think Ian, you can take that back off. I don't think we need to see the report anymore.
Oh, I just need to figure out how to do that. Let's see. Alex has a question in the chat. Is the money that we were given for a pool still available to us for use, and is there a time frame it needs to be used within? Also, is it specifically and exclusively to be used for a pool, or could it be used to make up for shortfalls in next year's budget if there are some?
So that is unclear. You know, in years past, an earmark is, you know, especially with, it was the money that was given to us was $1,100,000. And that was from a budget allocation from the city council. Traditionally, that can't be touched for other things, but it is probably going to be something that is going to be necessary, and that's a very good possibility. you know, I was talking with Jackie a while back, and she said it might be able to be repurposed. So, and if people don't know who Jackie is one of the assistant principals. And before she was an assistant principal, she was the business manager of the school. So, you know, that's really her forte. So,
Ian, can I speak to that? We actually have to use the pool money, and it's not just the 1.1 million. We also got 150,000 from the state of New York, courtesy of our state senator. We do have to use it for the pool unless we make a very strong case that we need to divert the money for something else. This year, Jackie and I talked about taking 100,000 of it and using it for tech if we didn't have enough money if we didn't get money from the city council. We applied for tech for this from the city council, $166,000 worth of it. But given the situation right now with COVID and the shortfall, we're not going to probably get it from them. So I think that might be an option, but before we take that option, and maybe at the June meeting, we can really get into that. I want to circulate to everybody, Alex Sackelberg, who asked that question, has sent around a lot of information about different options with the pool. We haven't given up on that dream. It's just, again, deferred. So, you know, before we decide to do something like that, I think we should look at what the options are with that, because we have the money to put together some kind of swimming facility. The obstacle, as always, is getting permission from the trust. That hasn't changed in 12 years. So we're still on that one. So let's hold that thought. I think the reality of our budget for next year, we should vote on the budget as presented by Lissa, but the reality of our school next year is we're going to need a lot more money to be able to do some of the things that we can do. We don't know yet if there's going to be classes or if they're going to be online still. We have learned a lot about the online experience, but we could make it better, you know, if we have to do it again in the fall. And we're going to need cash, lots of cash. So I think a strategy about raising money is kind of what we need to come up with. Why are you laughing, Donna? Okay. So
he's agreeing that there's going to be a need for lots of money.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, I think figuring out ways to raise money on our part is time well spent. We're going to need it.
All right. Do we want to present the budget that we're going to vote on it? Are you able to do that yet, Lissa?
So I have like so much open, but that also is on the website. Okay. If you can open it up.
Is it our goals budget proposal?
Yes.
Okay.
It's at the top.
Let me just also respond to Luis, Luis Malo, who just said, what about an auction type fundraiser? In fact, I've often thought that the Oyster Classic race might do well in the fall. Now we may have to run it in the fall if Governor's Island's open in the fall. Spring Tide last year was an auction fundraiser. We purchased software. We did ClickBid is the name of the software. And we did an auction thing where we solicited a number of things and we auctioned them off both on site, and you could do it on your phone. So you could do it, you know, stay at home and in your pajamas and buy stuff online. And that was pretty successful for a first time. But I think we could do a really good auction. And I mean, you know, we've all done it at our various schools in the past. And if everybody kind of really participated, it could be a very significant fundraiser for us. You know, and it's really not hard. We have a template now. We know how to do it. We have a number of people that we ask for donations. So if the stuff comes in, it's free, then the event is all profit, essentially, except for the food that we, you know, spend money on. So I really think Spring Tide should be developed as our yearly spring money-making thing. And then if the race could now be in the fall, 2 a year is pretty much all we can handle, I'd say. So I think that would be a great formula for us for the future.
Yeah, I agree. David Chang, do you want to speak to how you did the auction at your school, and that you used a very inexpensive program? Clickbid was kind of middle. It wasn't really expensive, but it certainly was more expensive than some other choices. And so.
I think the auction, we had some challenging issue last year with the auction. The bigger challenge, when you have silent auction, people bid online. At the end of the auction, I had tough time. People didn't collect their gifts, especially some of these baskets that are all wined and things like that. It was very difficult to ship to people, and we couldn't keep it at school because we had to be locked up because it's wine and alcohol. So I think our other school that I'm participating in, the PTA, is that we are now shifting a auction, just a live auction at one of your events, like Spring Tide. That way, at the end of the night, everything is gone. People take it with them because I do not want to be stuck with 50, 60 different items shipping to people. People don't pay on time. The credit card bounce, and I have a lot of issues with that. And at the end of the day, I have to eat all the shipping costs because I didn't budget for that. So I think auction is definitely a great option, but we could do a live auction at one of our events, such as Spring Tide, have something laid out. People could bid on it at the end of the night. You know, they pay right there on site. We've done that in the past, and I think that will be a more effective way than, you know, figuring out that way the gift, any types of item that's being sold, will make the money that night at the end of one of our events, and then boom, the stuff is gone. We don't worry about shipping. Picking up at school.
You know, we actually did have everything. It was an online event, but we did have all of the items at the event so that people could pick them up. A lot of people didn't pick them up, and so but we didn't actually end up shipping anything. But I think, you know, in the future, it can be run a lot smoother.
I think, you know, the biggest, I realized that auction, all the stuffs are great, but one of the stuff that we could do, I think was very successful, but one of the parents did, was that a scripting with gift card. We could do that. Could be a year-round event, you know, between the holidays and things like that. You know, people have birthdays, anniversary. Those are great. We need a 5% kickback right to our PTA. And we could, for example, I bought a bunch of gift card for Christmas time. And you know what? I go back to the website and I refill it myself once it's, you know, set up an account with Script. And this great way to, I mean, listen, I get gas anyway. I'm going staying at the hotel. I am going to do travel. I could give gift card, use that, and give the school 3-5% of the total cost. And I think is that the parent that headed that program was really great. And I think that could be a very successful program. That could be a year-round program rather than just for the holidays.
Yep. Well, you know, we still do have plenty of gift cards. And that was Maureen Packer. Is Maureen in here yet? Is she able to join us?
I don't think so.
Maureen is moving her house. She also broke her foot, so she's in the cast. No. Yeah, I was talking to her today. She's having a particularly bad day. I think that we all realize that, and part of the reason I was so keen on getting the vending machine is that whatever passive ways in the script program that Maureen introduced and championed is one of them. Whatever passive ways we can just create income for this PTA is good. I really think, you know, I've been saying this for 4 years, but like Amazon Smile, if every parent in our school bought, especially right now, my God, you know, think of what we're spending on Amazon these days. I do so much of my shopping at Amazon and Whole Foods, which is a neighborhood supermarket here, so I don't have to actually go to the supermarket. You know, if we did that, we would just bring in thousands of dollars without too much stress. And putting on these events is a little stressful. So Alex Stackelberg asked if fundraisers that we do before next fall impact next year's budget. They do not. If we did them now, then they would be technically in this year's budget. This year's budget goes through June 30th. Anything in July and August, if we did a fundraiser, for example, over the summer online or something, that would be technically in next year's budget. And Ronnie says basket auctions are big money makers. At least by me, they are. Ronnie is really like a top-notch fundraiser. So
she raised $20,000 in my daughter's elementary school from a basket auction. Baskets. That's lottery boards. It's a lot of work. You need a whole committee to be committed to it, but it raises a lot of money and it's a fun night out for everyone. Just saying.
Do they start that from the very beginning of the school year?
Yes, they do. And I remember one year I was in charge of just doing all holiday baskets. So what I would do is go out to stores right after the holiday and buy the clearance items and make a beautiful basket out of it for the next auction. So we had like one table just for that. I mean, we had like over 200 baskets, but we asked every family in the community, go to your manicurist, ask them if they'd be willing to donate a gift card, go to your local restaurant, and everybody pitched in, and it's just a fun night out too. And so it builds community. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's a lot of work.
I want to answer Alex's question. If you know we're going to start from scratch next year, you're going to have a lot of money in the budget. We have like over $50,000 in our budget.
There's a lot of carryover.
That's in our balance. Some of that is going to be spent this year, but a lot of it is not. There is going to be money in there. You're not going to be starting out from scratch. And there is also merchandise at the school that will be able to be sold when you can get back into the PTA closet.
I want to point out two things. First of all, there's some comments here. Glenda says some schools have each grade bring things for each basket, a theme for each grade. That would be a nice way to, you know, make it more inclusive. And you're right, Louise, that we need the Amazon Smile thing to get people on board really needs a communications push. So I think we should try to figure that out. I want to just say about the merchandise sales that we did very well with them the year before. This year, not so well. I think that was because we weren't pushing them. I also think, though, it's because we didn't really have too many new things. And there's a limit to how many umbrellas and pint glasses that one family can use. Maybe the pint glasses are renewable, but I'd urge you to think about merchandise, something new that you can push, because people do buy it. And it last year we had, $6,000 or $7,000 in income from the merchandise sales. We had a lot of, we sold a lot. This year, very little.
Masks.
Yeah, I think masks. Actually,
Harbor School.
Yes, Harbor School masks. I have a contact. One of my clients has a silk screen production company that has worked with Harbor School. I don't know the name of it. It's in the East Village. And she's, you know, she said that, you know, they really just do the t-shirts now, but they are looking into, you know, doing masks. So I think masks are going to be a cash cow. So, but it's delivery.
We need somebody, some parent to really take on the merchandise sales, because Teresa Jordan did it when we first, you know, really ratcheted it up, and she did, you know, she liked to sell things, and so she did a good job selling things. We didn't really have somebody this year who was, you know, behind it. It needs a little push. Yes, we are on Amazon Smile, Donna's commenting, but we're not an Amazon affiliate. The difference is Amazon Smile gives you like 0.5% on sales. If we got to an affiliate status, and my former school, PS8, managed to do that, then you get a really high percentage, like 7% of purchases. But you have to go through some falderal to get there. But it's worth it, 7%.
So I think one of the things that we're going to need next year to have a strong PTA is leadership. And so we do have a nominating committee for next year. It's myself, Nan, and Bill Seary. And if anybody wants to run for any position, we are going to try and have our elections at our last meeting, which is going to be the June meeting. And the things that we really need in order to be a PTA, there's three positions, the president, the secretary, and the treasurer. You know, we have very important positions that are not those positions, but those are the positions that, you know, without one of those three people, we can't have a PTA. So, you know, that's something for you all to think about. And, you know, it's actually a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. But you really get to know a lot more about the school.
So do you have any more questions? Does anybody have any more questions about the budget? Luis just offered to do some of the design. Thank you. He's an art director. Fantastic. Because communications, we need more, you know, people to help. I mean, design rules the world, in my opinion. And I'll get back to you, Luis, about the affiliate thing. It's a filing issue. It's paperwork issue. It's a little, it's not that easy. They don't want to give away 7%. You got to be persistent and push. It took us a while, I know, at PS8 to get it, but I agree with you. You know, it's the way to go. And especially right now with COVID stretching into the infinite future, we're all going to be buying a lot online, and we should try to get that for us. That would be a huge thing for the school.
Luis, do you have any HTML experience?
Oh, that was Anna. Sorry. Hi, Anna.
You know, we don't actually need HTML experience. You know, we have the website, and the website is simple enough that you can just, you know, plug things in. But, you know, they're trying to make it more difficult. And, you know, HTML experience is always good. And it's a WordPress site. And if anybody has WordPress experience, luckily Ian does, and, you know, can take over the website. and already has been putting, you know, information in.
I do design, but I don't have any coding experience, but I mean, what I do is design layouts and, you know, anything related to the look, the style, look and feel, but not in actual coding or programming or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But anything, you know, related to design, user experience, things like that, yes.
Yeah, flyers, posters, right? Or
which is great. We actually have a couple of people who are graphic designers, but one in particular we've kind of had as our go-to person, and she's the one who has done the Oyster Classic, all of the artwork for that. But I'm sure she would be happy to have other people take some of the work off of her. And, you know, the more that we can have, I think, you know, we have an Instagram account, we have, Twitter, we have the Facebook. It's not really utilized, you know, as much as it could or should be. And if there's somebody who has really good, like, you know, social media skills, that is something that you don't have to be, you know, at the PTA meetings to be part of, you know, working on social media.
That was something we were starting to ramp up when everything kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
Can we return to the budget just so we can take it off the screen? Does anybody have any other questions about the budget? I just want to make a point that even though it looks like we have all this money, some significant percentage of it is affiliated with the bio trip. So that money would roll over to the bio trip for next year. But I think that it kind of, you know, the bio trip experience and the way that parents in bio came together to fundraise, and other people in the school supported it too, just proves to us that, you know, if we can get more focus in our fundraising, we can raise quite a lot of money, because, you know, we basically came up with $40,000 in a couple of months. Now setting up all those things took a little while, but now we have a path to follow. And if you did that times 7 CTEs, now we're talking some money that we could use for real things. So it was an encouraging experience, put it that way. And I just want to comment on some of these other things. So let's look at the budget. If we can vote on the budget, that would be good. And then Ian can remove it, or Lisa can remove it from the screen. I know that Ronnie and Paul joined us tonight and want to say something. And you're all seeing the comments here. Deirdre was saying, what about a sip and paint as a fundraiser? I think that would be great. You could do it online too. Sip, well, we're all sipping away anyway, online.
And what PTA position openings do we have to fill?
So we have all of the positions to fill, but the mandatory ones to have a PTA are the president, the secretary, and the treasurer.
So Marge is stepping down as president?
I do not know if she's going to step down as president. I think she's wavering. Okay. I think she probably could be convinced, but...
To step down?
No, to continue. Oh. We don't want her to step down. She's been very good.
But, get her a fruit basket. You know,
I think that is a position that is very hard to do alone. Nan and I did it together the previous year, and I would not have wanted to do it alone. I wouldn't have run if we hadn't run together. And Nan is a force of nature, and she pushed me, and you know, I think we pushed each other, and I think we got a lot accomplished. And I think that, you know, Marge is amazing, and you know, she's a teacher, and so she knows how to, you know, organize. But I think that she, just like anyone else, would really benefit from having another, you know, a co-president. So, you know, if anybody would, you know, want to step up to that position with her, I think she would be more willing to continue on as president.
I would agree too, and I would say that it's really important to have, I think, for continuity, institutional clarity too, to have an upperclassman and a lowerclassman share a position, because that way, you know, they then move into the position in a more senior role with a lot more information under their belt. You just learn a lot. So, you know, two treasurers, somebody who's a senior, say, and somebody who's a sophomore. And then the next year, that sophomore parent would be the treasurer, and they would have somebody who is a sophomore parent or a freshman parent moving up into that role. Again, so we have continuity. I mean, institutional memory is so important. And so, yep. And sharing.
Nobody wants to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, and sharing these things makes the job easier too. You divide the work, it's so much easier.
So how do we get this budget voted on?
So I say, anybody wanna say that they approve the budget? So,
I approve the budget.
Anybody okay. Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
In favor?
Aye.
Okay. Anyone opposed?
Aye. No. No, not opposed.
Okay. So therefore the budget passes. And I would like to give the rest of our time to Paul and to Ronnie.
Oh, hi, everybody. Thank you, parents, for letting us join tonight. We'll be very succinct to the point here. So we at the Harbor School, we have the Restorative Committee, which is part of the broader Restorative Justice Initiative in the city of New York. And it's a place where we bring together staff, which is comprised of adults and student body. Normally we would congregate within the building, and create, restorative circles, which is, basically, sitting in a circle. All right. The chairs are set up in a circle. We have, trained folks who come in. This is, people who are trained, such as myself and various staff members. And we have supporters through the affinity organization who come in to help us help support these circles. And mainly they're a place where we come together to hear each other, to share values, to be able to establish equity of voice amongst the school community, which is very critical, obviously. And, you know, it's been a work in progress over the last year and a half, more or less, that we've had the Restorative Committee. But we've seen significant growth in the community within the small community of the Restorative Committee. Particularly during the remote learning period, we've had an interesting time adapting to the virtual world of Zoom and having these restorative circles on Zoom. I think I could share a screen here. I don't want to get too heavy into anything, but I'll share this screen. This is a little nifty graphic here. So here's an example of how the circle process is effective in communication. So you see here, you have values in the center. It's the idea of values is really a core principle, and it gets very detailed when you start to talk about values and what which values different people, you know, put higher than other values, but we're all in the space. So the values become the core principle of the circle. And then the process itself of communicating in a circle is really the, you know, the main aspect. So if you take a look at this diagram, it's not the be all end all diagram, but it is, you know, effective at putting out the idea of what's strong about the circle. So we see shared values, circle principles, circle process, and circle guidelines. And this is really the dynamic of the circle going around the values. So I share that screen to just kind of give you a little taste of that. So what we're doing here is we have, as I said, we have the staff, and you know, we've done numerous faculty conferences with the restorative committee, with the entire Harbor School staff, particularly on Wednesdays when we have our we have the longer day, so to speak, and the staff has to meet for an hour in the morning. And so we were allotted time. Jeff graciously allotted the restorative committee time to introduce it to the staff. So the staff has been familiarized with it. The student body has gradually been familiarized with it. It's important to roll it out to them in a way that's very comforting and open. So actually, one of the things you keep hearing about remote learning is how once the plug was pulled on March 13th, we lost a lot. We were gaining a lot of momentum with the circles. We were going to be pushing into classes and working with students with circles and getting them more involved with the social emotional connections that we feel are very important in building that strong community. So now you have the staff and you have the student body, who are two very important components of building community, which is very important when you think about restorative justice in general. But the parents are equally important. They are stakeholders, needless to say. So the idea of building this triad of stakeholders, where, you know, you got your staff at the Harvard School who's getting behind the movement. You got the students who are getting behind the movement. We need the parents to join us in this idea of the circle process. And again, it's about healing. It's about building community. It's about bringing people together with equal voice, staff, student, and parents. And so tomorrow, we're going to be doing our first circle, albeit virtual. And Ronnie can speak to that in a moment. But we'll be doing a restorative circle with the parents tomorrow. Some people may know, some people may not know, but now you know. And it'll be hosted by myself, but there'll be members of the restorative committee there, which are student and staff as well. It'll be a handful. So that will be tomorrow at 7:15. And tomorrow's theme, the circle theme, will be building resiliency during COVID-19. So that will be the theme for tomorrow, building resiliency during COVID-19. So that's pretty much my little piece on restorative justice. Ronnie, if there's anything I missed or if there's anything you'd like to add,
sure,
you can jump in. Yeah.
So we offer it every day to our students at 12 noon. If you need the information, we'd love for more students to get involved. You can email me and I can send you the information. It's on Zoom. And then we're also offering community service credit for any students that do attend circles. So we do want them to see what it's like. I'm getting a lot out of it. I actually joined. Paul put out an email and said, is anyone interested in, you know, joining? And I said, sure, I would love to. And for me, I'm getting a lot out of it. So I think it would be great for the students too. So we do it every day at noon. So please email me, you know, encourage your children to attend it. It's been wonderful. It really has.
Thank you, Ronnie. And yeah, you know, it's just my philosophy with that was, you know, when I talked to Jeff, when remote learning started, was my philosophy is going to be leave the door open. So every day I'm there at 12, and some days there's a small group and some days there's a few people. There's a sweet spot when it comes to the exact number that I like. And it's typically around, you know, 10 to 15, but if there were more, it'd be great. If there's less, you know, small circles are more potent. You're able to really get into things a little bit more deeply. So Yes, and also lastly, I just want to underscore the importance of the community service piece, very big, especially with the students, you know, needing that, especially for college, and restorative justice, and learning how to run circles with staff and parents potentially is a very, very good skill for leadership. So I'm very proud of the students that we've trained in the restorative committee, and I'm welcome to every single student at the Harvest School. So thank you very much, PTA.
And I have one more thing to add. On Fridays, we have Fun Fridays, and we've been doing Family Feud. So they can
come and
hang out. Right, Harbor Feud. They can come and just hang out on Fridays, too. So
lots of fun. Lots of fun.
Yes.
So I think that, does everybody know what restorative justice is?
You could give us a capsule.
Okay. So I think that restorative justice is, instead of having like punitive damage, like, you know, if somebody does something to hurt somebody, like bullying, instead of like giving them detention or, you know, you do these restorative justice circles and try and, you know, show a bully what, you know, their actions actually, you know, have these consequences of hurting other people in the community. And when, you know, done effectively, instead of a bully just feeling like, oh, well, they told on me, and so I'm just going to bully them worse, they get to have this understanding of, you know, how to behave in a different way. And there can be this transformation. And if, you know, unfortunately Ellen is not here today, but, you know, she has seen it work. And her son was bullied, you know, horribly in middle school. And then there was a teacher who introduced this, you know, restorative justice, and it really transformed his experience.
Thank you, Lisa. That, you know, certainly conflict resolution is one major component to restorative justice. But I, you know, I want to emphasize how important it is, you know, to understand that a lot of it is a lot of good best practice, I would say, of restorative justice is actually shedding light on a lot of the remarkable stuff that takes place in a school. I think that's the best way I could describe it. So many great things happen in school, amongst staff and students, and amongst peers, students with their peers. And I think I like to think of RJ as a place where we shed light on those things. And sometimes it is the amazing. So for me, working with our guidance team the way I do, and the administration that I work with is incredible, because we hear everybody. And I think that, you know, when you write it, when you describe it boldly, yeah, it sounds huge and radical, but oftentimes I would have to say that a lot of it's happening already. And I think the RJ committee is a group of people who want to show, like, I take the duty to share that. And yeah, sometimes you have to deliberate where, you know, when you're dealing with a conflict, you have to deliberate the consequences. We still have a discipline code. So there's certain things that you have to bargain with. But at the end of the day, when you know that the restorative principles exist, you try to honor that. And I think that's what we're trying to do. But again, the most important thing is all the stakeholders, and having the parents be vocal about restoration is vital. Transformative practice, as you said, Lisa, it's all important, and it's great. And, you know, just thank you for letting me talk at this PTA meeting for a little. Yeah.
So it is 7:03, and you know, if we have some juniors here, you know, you do have a class meeting at 7:10 or 7:15 with Jeff, and I want to be cognizant of that. So I, you know, if there's any other business, I think we should say, Ronnie.
Yes, I just have one thing, actually. I have to jump on that call as well. We're doing a fundraiser for our seniors. I believe I sent the email out, or Jeff sent it out, actually, for Castaway t-shirts. They're adorable. I'm going to put the link into the group chat if anyone's interested in ordering any. What we're hoping to use the money for is that a number of our families have asked for their dues back because they're going through financial difficulty right now. So for those students that are having a tough time, we're hoping to use the money to cover them, because every senior is going to be receiving a swag bag of a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, their cap and gown, a duffel bag. We have a whole slew of different things that they'll be getting, and we have one or two surprises that we're hoping to do. So I'm going to put the link into the chat now. No pressure, but if you'd like to order, link is there. And then for our senior parents, we are having our virtual prom this Friday. I know it is not ideal. We trust me, we know. But I will tell he has dancing shoes on. But I will tell you, when we all sat down to discuss virtual events, I was overwhelmed. I have to say, I was really, really overwhelmed with even the thought of it. I'm like, how do we do this? But we have a lot of creative minds on the committee, and we're going to do this. It's going to be fun. We're going to do this. We are all really committed to making the rest of the school year an amazing one for our seniors, the best that we can do. So if they haven't signed up for prom yet and they haven't picked their virtual limo yet, please encourage them to do so, okay? Yes, we are going to have virtual limos. Don't know how. It's Paul's idea. Where'd you go, Paul? Oh, right there.
Still here. I'm listening.
Okay, so it's going to happen. So, and we actually hired a professional DJ. So no one's going to be sitting there with their phone, with their playlist on their phone. We actually have a professional DJ. So tell the kids, what else are they going to be doing this Friday, right? So they might as well come and see their classmates, see their teachers, do some TikTok dancing, and let's have fun. All right, and that's it. I really need to jump to the other one. But does anyone have any quick questions for me while I'm here? No?
Thank you, Ronnie.
You're welcome.
Can you get Quentin a date?
you want to laugh? It was, I have to tell a very quick story. So I did some research over the weekend, and I kind of stalked like the Teen Vogue prom, right? Hopefully nobody works for Teen Vogue. So I tried to get our school involved. They were asking for different schools, so I put our school in, but we were not selected. LaGuardia was selected. And there was another school in the city that was selected, but we weren't selected. But they invited me to sit in on it anyway. But I don't think they realized that I wasn't 17 years old. So I sat there with the black screen because I didn't want anybody to know I was old. And I watched the whole thing. And I wanted to, you couldn't chat with anybody, but I wanted to reach out to this one young lady, because she was all dressed up. She looked beautiful. She had a beautiful red dress. She was in her backyard, and she had a giant cutout of either a celebrity or her boyfriend. She was dancing with this thing all night long. She was being such a good sport. So I wish I could have told her. Like, I was so proud of her, and you know, she was making the best of really, you know, difficult time, but I was very proud of her. So. And I hope our kids will join us on Friday.
You've given me a very good idea. Thanks, Ronnie.
Oh, you're going to have a cutout for him?
We'll see.
So I just want to say, if nobody Hopefully everybody has seen it or knows about it, but the LeBron James graduation that they put on
was
quite special. Mm-hmm. And I think we can, like, you know, have a link on our next, you know, news that we put out so that people can see that. This is being recorded. So, you know, if people want to look back on it, they can. If you have friends that weren't able to join but want to know what's going on, you know, we will have this recording available for them. Maureen! I saw Maureen for 2 seconds. Ah, there. Hey.
How are you?
Hello. Show us your cast.
The boot, the infamous boot.
Memories.
Okay. Well, if nothing else, I think
but why don't we just ask anybody, does anybody else have anything that they'd like to talk about while we're here? Because we haven't had a PTA meeting quite some time. I'm going to put a link on here. Oops, sorry.
Somebody have Bolero on.
Who's playing? They play nicely.
You're muted, Nan.
Yeah, Nan, you're muted.
You're still muted.
Sorry, I was going to send you this link. I can't figure out how to do it, though. It's Juilliard's graduation project. It's set to the tune of Bolero.
Bolero, yeah, and it's fun.
Oh, my God, it's so beautiful. Set to music. You know, maybe we can riff on that in our next PTA music. We'll all dance to it. Some sea chanty.
So unfortunately, you know, Marge was not able to join us tonight, but I think, you know, Nan and I were co-presidents last year, so Nan, shall we say that this meeting has concluded?
Yeah, sure, if nobody has any other questions or concerns or, and, you know, do email us and Bill and Lisa and I, if you would be willing to be part of the PTA next year, because you know, we want to have a great group. And even if you can't take an office, but would be willing to work on one of the key projects. So what we're talking about right now is, you know, the race in the fall, the spring tide in the spring, and, you know, initiatives like the script drive. So, you know, whatever your skills are, organizational or graphic design, or if you're a finance person, you know, if everybody could just kind of do a little something, it will make it a better school and a stronger PTA. So get in touch with us and put your foot in the water.
And we do have the Zoom account, which, you know, who knows what PTA is going to look like next year and how long we're going to need it. But I think that this is making it a lot more accessible for people who just weren't able to get to downtown Manhattan. So, you know.
We should probably consider it, even if we have live meetings, keeping Zoom as an option.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. At least maybe have every so often have the other ones, but I think this is really a great tool. Because a lot of people have to rush out of work and they can't get there in time.
Yeah. So thank you all. We hope to see you at our June meeting, which is, what's the date now?
June 16th. I have so many 7 o'clock meetings. I got mixed up in my time. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. So in the next meeting will be a 2-hour meeting. And we hope to see you all there, at least for part of it. And, you know, I think if people have questions, to, you know, to please email us beforehand and let us know.
Will it, Nan, will it be same time, 6 p.m.? Same time, 6 p.m.?
Yeah, that seems to work for most people, so why don't we keep it next? Yeah.
I think it's good,
Why is it going to be 2 hours?
Because that's our normal meeting.
But it doesn't have to be. We can make it shorter if we're more efficient.
Yes, if we're more efficient and if we can, you know, get a, I think really the election takes a fair bit of time. So, you know, but
we have candidates,
you know, there have been years where we have been able to end early.
Okay.
So
okay.
Are the nominees going to be announced prior to the meeting?
They'd have to.
Yep. Well, you know, and if anybody wants to nominate themselves from the floor, we can do that too.
Okay. So you hope to nominate people before the meeting. You'll email us, I assume. But you'll also take nominations from the floor at the next meeting.
Correct. Okay, I'm hoping that we're not eating into the junior's time, so I think I'm going to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you, bye.
Bye. Bye, your parents. Bye. Nan, I'm sure we'll connect. Bye, everybody.
See you, everyone.
Sorry.
Bye.